IP Fridays Episode 1.
Hello and welcome to this episode of IP Fridays. Our names are Ken Suzanne and Rolf Clayson, and this is the podcast dedicated to intellectual property. It does not matter where you are from, in-house or private practice, novice or expert. We will help you stay up to date with current topics in the fields of trademarks, patents, design and copyright, discover useful tools, and much more.
Welcome to the very first episode of IP Fridays, the new podcast on intellectual property matters such as trademarks, patents, designs, and copyright and any other issues in that field. Your hosts are Ken Suzanne. Hi, Ken. You're on the phone with me.
Yes. Hello, Rolf.
Very nice to have you as a co-host. And myself, my name is Rolf Clayson from Cologne, Germany. I'm partner with Patent Attorneys Freischirm. We are a medium-sized IP firm, mostly handling domestic clients in the field of trademarks and patents. And how about you, Ken?
Well, Rolf, I'm of counsel here at Barnes & Thornburg in the Minneapolis office. I practice primarily trademark, copyright, and internet law. I've been practicing since 1997, first in New York, then in Buffalo, and then I joined Barnes & Thornburg in 2012.
So what do you think is our goal with the podcast? What do you want to accomplish with it?
Well, I think it's important to help our listeners stay on top of the late-breaking news and information and learn about tools on how they can, you know, increase the productivity of their practice, ways to get information on the Internet. There's so many sources these days for getting information and staying on top of things. So hopefully we'll be able to guide our listeners in finding the best tools to make sense of all this material and text and information that you can find primarily on the Internet.
Right, and maybe we can even have some extra little tips that our listeners didn't know about before. We absolutely hope so.
Oh, sure. Definitely.
And so why don't we just jump in and start with some current issues? I heard about the Candy Crush Saga case. Did you hear about this? This was a trademark case in the U.S. Maybe you are the guy to talk about that.
Yes, well, that is definitely something that's been hitting the news lately. We all know about Candy Crush. That was an interesting case in the sense that the people who were trying to trademark the word candy, they ran into people who had owned a trademark for a candy swiper, and they ended up abandoning their application for candy. And now they obtained rights to a trademark called Candy Crusher, adding the word ER adding the letters ER after crush. So that's one case in which that particular trademark owner, King.com, is dealing with one entity. Then they also have at the same time the issue of the word saga. They were involved with a dispute with the Banner Saga. There's a company called Stoic, and they were able to resolve that matter as well. So in essence, you've got these situations where games and apps all are out there competing for a limited number of words and names, and this is an important case at least to look at and see how these things are being resolved.
Right, and my understanding is that Stoic had the earlier trademark, and then Candy Crush tried to trademark their name Candy Crush, and then Candy Crusher. That's correct?
Well, in this case, there's two different companies. There was the
all right.
You've got the company that owned Candy Swiper. They went out and opposed when the Candy Crush folks tried to get the word candy. And then that ended up with them abandoning their trademark for candy and then moving forward after they acquired rights to Candy Crusher, which goes back to 2004, according to a use date listed in their trademark application. filed in February. So, you know, they worked out an agreement with the people who had used the mark Candy Crusher, and now that's the subject of their trademark application in the U.S. Then you've got, at the same time, they're dealing with the word Saga. There's a company called Stoic. They applied for a trademark called the Banner Saga. And then King, who is the owner of this Candy Crusher trademark, went out and objected to the Banner Saga, arguing that the word Saga would be confusing to consumers and make them think that that the Banner Saga is associated with King. And I note that King had went out and tried to register the mark Saga, S-A-G-A, in 2011. That application was suspended in the U.S. because King had to file a copy of their foreign registration.
Right.
So you've got two separate things going on. You know, King.com, a company, a corporation of Malta, is definitely taking the lead here in looking at their IP and going after and defending their IP.
Right. Okay, I understand now. So just for our listeners, if you want to find the original news item that gives you the most information about this, just go to ipfridays.com/candycrush, ipfridays.com, that's our own URL, /candycrush. Then you can find out more about this topic. So why don't we move to the next news item? The next news item I selected was the lawsuit against Marvel by Carnegie Mellon. Most of the talk nowadays is about Samsung and Apple, but there are other really big cases going on right now. One of the cases is Carnegie Mellon against Marvel. Carnegie Mellon has a couple of hard disk patents, and they are enforcing them against various manufacturers, and one of them is Marvel. And Marvel was just ordered to pay $1.5 billion fines, and that seems to be pretty high in view of the whole market cap of Marvel at about $8.2 billion. So the size of the penalty is quite meaningful for Marvel. And the only thing Marvel can do now is to go into the appeal, which it is doing now. And Carnegie Mellon has an endowment of about $1.4 billion, and this comes really welcome as an additional, like it more than doubles the endowment of Carnegie Mellon. So they have lots of money now for their R&D and for their students. So Carnegie Mellon may not even have to charge tuition anymore. They can just maybe select students based on their skills. What do you think?
Well, I mean, I think universities will always have to charge for tuition. It's part and parcel of going to school. And, you know, there's so many expenses these days for operating universities. So I don't think tuition bills are ever going away.
Okay. Just wondering, because I also studied in the U.S. a couple of years ago, and tuition is always a big thing. And some of the larger universities and more famous ones like Stanford and Harvard, they have so much endowment that they don't really have to charge anything, but they just do for maybe selection purposes, right?
Well, I mean, there's so many different factors that go into what schools charge students to attend their universities. But I think it does help when universities do have endowments and they have multiple sources to draw upon to operate their universities.
Right. So that's just welcome money for Carnegie Mellon to be able to select more students based on their skills and maybe accept less students based on their money, right? The next thing I wanted to talk about is black and white trademarks in Europe. What I mean by that is trademarks like figurative trademarks filed in black and white instead of color. And that's used to be very common among applicants to, even if they use their trademark in red or in blue, to file the trademark actually in black and white, just to have more coverage, more scope, because legislation, at least in Germany so far, was that if you have a black and white trademark, it would also cover any color, basically, red and blue and green and yellow and whatever. And even the reversed contrast, there was a case, Malteser, the Malteser cross, Malteser Kreuz, and they had a cross black against a white backdrop and a white backdrop against a, or a light backdrop against a dark backdrop was infringing. So that was an interesting case. But now this legislation is reversed, and the European Trademark Offices found a harmonized way to treat these kinds of applications in the future. So if you are applying for a trademark in black and white, a figurative trademark, then other trademarks or other signs will only make identical use of these trademarks if they are also in black and white. If someone uses a trademark in a certain color, let's say blue, this is not considered an identical use anymore in the future. Even more important is that in Europe, trademarks can be cancelled if you are not using the trademarks as registered. And the new regime, or after the harmonization of the legislation in this case, in black and white filed figurative trademarks, it will be the case that if you are using your trademark in a certain color, but it was actually filed in black and white, the figurative trademark, it might not be considered used to show your proof of use later on in infringement cases or in cancellation cases against your trademark. So your trademark might be prone to cancellation if you are using it in color and it was filed in black and white. So my recommendation would be, if you have a really important trademark and you have filed it in black and white as a figurative trademark, you might want to consider filing it now in the color that you are actually using it.
So that sounds like a way for them to make additional fees.
Exactly.
Would you agree?
Yes, exactly. And the scope will be much narrower now. I mean, if you have your trademark filed in red and someone is using it in yellow, it's not identical use anymore, so not an identical infringement anymore. That's really bad for the applicants, I think. What do you think?
Well, my view is that it just seems to be a way to make for extra fees and that type of thing. I was thinking in the U.S., you know, if you file for a logo in black and white, that's going to cover all variations in different colors. In fact, I often file for logos in black and white, knowing that you do get that larger protection. You don't have to file a separate mark for that mark in color. You'll really get all the variations. So I'm interested in learning a bit more about this regulation in Europe.
Sure. I will let the readers and you know. You can see the original notice at ipfridays.com/black and white, black and white. So ipfridays.com/black and white, one word. And it will direct you to the original communication of the European Trademark Office, OHIM. And you can see what they say about this. So the interesting thing is it will also not be considered a priority application if you have a black and white figurative trademark and you are filing the trademark in blue and white, let's say, in Europe. It will not be considered an effective priority date. So if you want, in the future, if you want enforceable protection in Europe and you want to show use in the future for your trademarks, you might want to consider also additionally maybe filing colored trademarks for your figurative trademarks.
Well, I think it's definitely something that I will want to read and look at and curious to see how this might affect practice here in the United States and whether any of the lawmakers here will take note of it.
Right. We will see how this develops. All right. So let's go to the next section, the personal plug of the day. I want to show you some similarity search freely available from OHIM. You can find this at ipfridays.com/similarity search, one word. ipfridays.com/ similarity search. If you enter this URL, you will be taken to the TMView search engine of Ohim, the advanced search page. You can enter the advanced search on the right, advanced search. And once you are in the advanced search fields, you can enter your trademark name and then click on fuzzy search, where you can, I don't know the exact algorithm, but you can obviously find some also similar trademarks. And you can select the trademark offices that are used. And among the trademark offices are all EU members, but also the US and also, for example, Turkey and also Mexico and some other countries. And then you can also enter NIST classes and Vienna codes and applicant names and then hit search. And then you will find similar trademarks in these countries. So that's a free tool that you can use. And of course, it will not replace any paid for search by more reliable search engines where you can actually find a documentation for the search algorithms. And in this case, you don't even know how they produce their search results, but it will be a good first shot and it's free. So,
and that's always welcome when there's a free resource that you can use. I often try to find those types of things on the internet to the extent that that information is available for all to use.
Right. So head over to ipfridays.com/similarity search. All right. So if you want to meet us at the upcoming INTA meeting in Hong Kong, enter www.ipfridays.com/INTA2014, INTA2014, into your browser, and you will be taken to the URL where you can send me an email to set up a meeting with us. And we will be present in the form of myself.
And yes, I won't be there this year, but many of my colleagues will be attending.
Sure. So if you want to meet the law firm of Ken, you are free to use this email and it will be directed to both of us. And we can set up meetings with either Ken's firm or myself. So, and if you have any other questions about the blog, please leave us your feedback at ipfridays.com/feedback, ipfridays.com/feedback. And if you want to show us your love, you can go to www.ipfridays.com/love and you can send us all your love you can and make sure that this podcast will be distributed to all your Twitter followers. So, Ken, you want to say any goodbye words?
Well, I think this is a great start to the IP Fridays podcast. I'm looking forward to working with you, Rolf, and looking at issues all across the globe in connection with trademarks and other IP issues. This is certainly a great time to be practicing IP law. Lots of changes on the horizon. I know myself I'm following a lot of changes in technology, particularly the wearable technology field. There's a lot of IP issues coming out of that, as well as in the app space. So something I'll certainly be talking about in the months to come.
Right. So thank you for being co-host with me on the first episode of IP Fridays. And we are looking forward to you, dear listener of IP Fridays, to tune in 2 weeks. That will be this podcast will be a bi-weekly podcast. We at least try to be there every second week for you. And we say goodbye until next time. Bye-bye.
Goodbye. That's it for this episode. If you liked what you heard, please show us your love by visiting ipfridays.com/love and tweet a link to this show. We would be so grateful if you would do that. It would help us out to get the word out. Also, please subscribe to our podcast at ipfridays.com or on iTunes or stitcher.com. If you have a question or want to be featured in one of the upcoming episodes, please send us your feedback at ipfridays.com/feedback. Also, please leave us a review on iTunes. You can go to ipfridays.com/iTunes, and it will take you right to the correct page on iTunes. If you want to get mentioned on this podcast or even have comments within the next episode, please leave us your voicemail at ipfridays.com/voicemail. You have been listening to an episode of IP Fridays. The views expressed by the participants of this program are their own and do not represent the views of, nor are they endorsed by their respective law firms. None of the content should be considered legal advice. The IP Fridays podcast should not be construed as legal advice or legal opinion on any specific facts or circumstances. The contents of this podcast are intended for general informational purposes only, and you are urged to consult your own lawyer on any specific legal questions. As always, consult a lawyer or patent or trademark attorney. Copyright 2014, all rights reserved.